You're listening to Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Barca Blaugrana's writer, Renato Gonçalves. Renato makes a very timely appearance on the program for a couple of reasons. Atletico have just won the Audi Cup in Munich, defeating Napoli and Liverpool to lift the trophy. We'll analyze the key figures and key moments from Atleti's 2 days in Munich. In addition, we will discuss the Neymar saga, which reached its conclusion on Thursday as the Brazilian forward signed officially for PSG. We'll talk about the motivations for Neymar's departure, what Barcelona could have done better, and what they can do from here. A disclaimer before we proceed, my conversations with Renato are wide-ranging in nature and do not center exclusively on Atletico content. For more Atletico-centric pods, you can refer to my conversations with Rob Walker, Into the Calderon staff writer who appears on this program most Mondays. You can also refer to my conversations with Carlo Valladares, a tactics writer at various outlets. He appears on this program every couple of weeks or so, in addition to a slew of other guests. Lastly, make sure to like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon and subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Leave a rating and review on iTunes in particular. We'll be right back after this.
Okay. Yeah, it's all right. No, it's because that microphone I bought, it's actually pretty horrible. The reviews are right, so I had to find another way. So, but if you can hear me, that's the important thing.
I can. Yeah, you're pretty clear. Your resourcefulness and your dedication to the podcast are commendable.
Yeah, sincerely, everything for the Coach and our chat.
I sincerely thank you. All right, well, we have a lot to discuss, man. I'm not going to start with the Neymar stuff right away.
Thank God.
We'll talk about that later. Seeing as this is an Atletico podcast and Atletico just won a preseason tournament, we're going to talk a little bit about that. All right, man, so let's get started on this Thursday afternoon. Atletico are Audi Cup winners. How exciting is this? It's silverware. It's preseason silverware, but it's silverware as Atletico on Wednesday defeated Liverpool on penalties in the Audi Cup final, 1-1 after 90 minutes and 5-4 on penalties. Now, you're going to say something about, oh, Jan Oblak wasn't in goal, so that's why Atletico won the shootout. I know you're going to say that, so I'm going to beat you to it.
I was not going to say that.
You were thinking it.
No, I wasn't. I'm not lying here. I wrote it down. Three things I wanted to talk about the Audi Cup, because I watch all four games.
Oh, great.
I love the Audi Cup. For some reason, it's my favorite preseason tournament. I don't know why, but I love it.
In my first experience with it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched, I think this was the sixth edition. I've watched four.
Wow.
Since the third one. I haven't missed one since. And I wish it was every year. It's two. I think that's because I like it. That's why I like it, because it's two in 2 years, so you won't get tired of it. But I always like it. I don't know why. I watch all four games. It's always fun. Anyway, I noticed three things about Atleti, and Atleti only, that those three things can only happen if it's a preseason tournament.
Okay.
Number one, Oblak saved the penalty, which was in the first game.
Yeah.
Against Napoli, he saved the penalty from Milik. Number two, Vieto scored for Atleti, which only happens in friendlies, I think.
We were all shocked by that.
Yeah, and number three, Atleti won a penalty shootout. These three things happen in the same tournament. It has to be a friendly tournament, because if this was competitive, it wouldn't happen.
It all happened in a span of like 24 hours.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's incredible. But yes, you are correct. Atletico advanced to the final with that 2-1 win over Napoli, a comeback win. Vieto got the winner, but I loved Torres' goal. I thought that, like, wow, Torres kind of turned back the clock a little bit.
It was so weird.
It was kind of a weird
beautiful
movement.
Beautiful at the same time.
It was. It was weirdly beautiful. That's a good way of putting it. it was a very quick counterattack. Griezmann pulled it back to the middle for Torres to slot in, but he kind of hit it weird. He had to extend it in a weird way to get the ball over the line, but he hit it with just enough power that Pepe Reina couldn't stop it. And then Vieto's goal was, he nearly screwed this up, actually. He nearly did, man. It was the Carrasco corner, and it went off Tomas. I don't think a lot of people saw it. It went off Tomas's head first, and then Vieto at the back post, he kind of hits it side-footed, and he nearly misses.
No, it was actually a pretty good finish, because there was a guy at the post. So.
Oh, there was, wasn't there?
Yeah, so he kind of took the ball away from the... I'm just trying to defend the
You're
guy.
To defend him?
Atleti fans don't defend the guy, no. So someone who's not an Atleti fan has to try and do it.
I mean, hey, I'll give him credit. He played well at the Audi Cup, played really well against Napoli, so I'll give him credit. Maybe he's given Simeone a little bit more to think about rather than an imminent loan, but it was good to see him score.
Yeah, and he is a pretty good player.
He can be. He's got talent. He's really got talent, and he's got pace, he's got athleticism. But it's just not all there at the same time.
He had it at Villarreal and Sevilla.
He did, certainly, so, he did at Villarreal, but he wasn't often a starter at Villarreal. Like, he came off the bench for like half the season. And Sampaoli stopped considering him an option like in February after some really good performances early in the season. So I think Vieto's kind of small, and he's really slight of build. I think, honestly, some of it's a stamina issue for him because he can't often go the full 90 minutes. Which is fine. He doesn't need to start. If he carves out let's say he stays. Hypothetically, let's say he stays at Atletico and he carves out some kind of a substitute role. He's a forward you throw on the last 15, 20 minutes, see if he can nick a goal. That's a pretty valuable role, but he's got to be able to do it.
Yeah, but with Torres and Gamero, it's hard to see a place for him.
That's exactly it. With Torres, Gamero, Correa, there may not be space for him. I still think he's going to go on loan because I think he needs time, and I'm not sure he's going to get it at Atletico. But credit to him for putting in the effort. And he said after the game he didn't know what his future was going to hold. He was just happy to score the goal, and hopefully he has given Simeone something to think about. So yeah, Vieto did that, and of course, because this is Atletico, there was a preseason red card. Godin got sent off at the very end of the game. It really was not a good tackle. Like, there were some Napoli fans I saw who were really pissed off at it, and I don't blame them. It was really not a nice challenge.
Because the guy's injured, isn't he?
Yeah, he got hurt. I don't know how serious it is. I think he was going in for examinations, but I don't know how serious it is. Maybe there's been an update. But, you know, obviously you hate to see that. You hope he's all right. It was a really late challenge, really a mistimed challenge that Godin had no business making.
Yeah, even Cholo said that Ricard was totally deserved.
Even Cholo wasn't defending him, and Cholo also said, "I don't understand friendlies because I always go out to win."
That's true.
That's like the quintessential Cholo mentality. Is like, I don't understand friendlies because friendlies are by definition unfriendly. That's what he.
Yeah,
thinks.
I was watching the game, and the announcers were talking about that, like. Cholo is reacting to this game like it's a Champions League semifinal.
Yeah,
like he's celebrating goals. He's screaming at the top of his lungs and like, hey, it's a friendly. But he doesn't understand friendlies.
He doesn't. That's not how he's wired, and that's part of the reason why he's been so successful is that he's relentless. He and his team are just relentless. Even in friendlies, it. To him, friendlies are both a time to warm up and a time to start instilling that mentality of, you know, you go out there and you murder players if you have to. You at all costs, you win the game. That's kind
of especially because he's got a few young players too, so he kind of wants the old guys to set the example.
I'm not sure Godin was a great example setter there at the end of the game, but there you go. Yeah. It would have been amusing if the Napoli player, I think Unas, hadn't gotten hurt. But yeah, him getting hurt kind of made it a little worse. And it was a justifiable red card. I mean,
yeah, if this wasn't an injury, would be making fun of Godin because like, of course, an Atleti player got sent off in a friendly. But,
of course.
But yeah, the situation is kind of sad because it's not really Godin's style. He's already a physical center back, but he's not the guy that
No, he's not. He's goes not into dirty
those,
like that.
Those hard challenges, those, and yeah, it was just weird. It just wasn't Goldeen like.
No, because he's so often just positioned perfectly, and he doesn't have to slide tackle like that. But that time he did, and it was unfortunate, but he deserved it. But yeah, Oblak was phenomenal against Napoli. Made some outstanding saves, especially the penalty save. You know, he saved 4 out of his last 8 penalties, Renato. So he's not so bad at them anymore.
No, he just sucks at Champions League finals. That's it.
It's kind of the one you can't afford to suck at, but that's in the past. No, we're moving on.
No, we're not moving on. Why should I move on? I'm still angry at him, and I'll always be angry at him. Dude, you know what pisses me off about that? He didn't even jump.
I know. Like, he didn't even move.
He was still in all 5 penalties in the middle. He didn't even try
to
jump.
He didn't move, no.
That still pisses me off.
Oh, I know. Same here. But he was really good in the game against Napoli. His save on Milik was excellent. And really kept Atletico in it. The Callejon goal was not really anything he could do. That was just a great goal from him.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful goal. Couldn't really do anything to stop it. And Napoli you saw just a glimpse of their style of football and how beautiful they play.
I was watching them get out of the press.
Yeah.
Just passing the ball. And Atleti pressing really high. And they just, there was no pressure. Both was with Pepe Reina. And it just got out of the press and really just simply beautiful to watch. They're my favorite team in Italy, without a doubt. They're just gorgeous to watch. It's beautiful and it works.
Yeah.
It doesn't just look good. It actually gets them results. So, yeah, they're just great.
And the way they were able to build up from the back before just turning on the jets with all the speed and all the pace they have, it was very, very nice to watch. And they play beautiful football. And
yeah,
they're just an extremely entertaining team, and it was a good game.
To me, it was the best game of the cup.
Oh yeah, because Liverpool just smashed Bayern. Bayern were just not at the
races. Liverpool Bayern wasn't competitive at all.
And then Napoli Bayern wasn't really much better.
Yeah, because Bayern had a lot of young players.
Yeah, they've had kind of a worrying preseason. I think they've won only once in like 6 games.
Yeah, if I was a Bayern fan, I know that preseason is fake and the results don't matter, but right, the way they're playing in preseason is kind of worrying. So,
yeah. As much as you don't want to put any weight on the preseason, you know, you have to play semi-well, and Bayern aren't really doing that from what I've seen. But
James looks like Real Madrid James. He didn't improve at all. Which, of course, you understand, he's been there 3 weeks, but people thought just because he's left Madrid, he'd be good again, but so far not.
No, but it's very early days for him. And then we had the final yesterday, and this was also a very intense game. Atleti's goal coming through Katie Barre, the 19-year-old Canterano, the first Albanian to ever score for Atletico. Very quick counterattack ended up with Shime Rusalico getting the ball on the right. Angel Correa had a shot glance off, I think, the underside of the crossbar. And then Ragnar Klavan just was kind of out in no man's land while Katie snuck around him and headed in for the goal.
Yeah, apparently I heard this in the broadcast, because I'm not going to pretend I know who Katie Barrett was before the Audi Cup. But apparently Cholo is really high on him.
He is.
Apparently he's the one Canterano that Cholo really likes out of the Atleti youngsters.
Yeah, and he has gotten pretty good reviews this preseason. There have been some reports saying that Simeone's impressed with him, and he showed why yesterday. I mean, I'm not sure how many opportunities he could get. He may spend another season with the B team. He may go on loan. But he's certainly someone who's been impressive. He came up last year during a couple of the Copa matches. Didn't look like the moment was too big for him then, but it was really good to see him score. Always good to see one of the kids from the academy score. And he likes him. He likes Sergi Gonzalez, too. And Sergi was started at left back yesterday. And, of course, Simeone...
Oh, I liked him.
Simeone's probably going to need another left back at some point if Felipe gets hurt or Felipe suffers a dip in form.
And
Lucas is, it won't happen, hopefully.
It's going to play the next game. We know how it works.
Sure, he always broken his leg? Nah, get back out there. Another 90 minutes for you. A couple toes. No worries. 90 more minutes. Let's go.
You got a cast already. You can run.
What's the holdup?
What are you complaining about? It hurts? Doesn't matter. You're going
to
play.
I want you to bleed for me.
Yeah. By the way, I have to tell you this. I even wrote it on Twitter. I love the new uniform. The design is really bold. And it's like they took the kit from last season and they just took like a bear claw and just lashed
pretty much
through the kit. I think someone probably proposed that.
Oh, I'm sure, because it looks like a spitting image of that. But we're definitely in the minority there, because I actually really like the home shirt.
I like it too. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know.
That's probably the design idea, was to get a bear claw and just.
It's exactly what it looks like, right? But so,
it looks really good. I thought it was bold and.
It is.
And then Nike doesn't really hit it right with their bold choices, but this one was pretty good.
Yeah, I really like the home kit, and I know that a lot of people hate it. Like, it's too big a break from tradition. It's an abomination. Like, no, I think it's bold. It's ambitious. It's a combination of a few different kit concepts they've had over the years, and I really like it. And I think the away strip is just gorgeous. The yellow shirt is just gorgeous. I think well done.
I think whenever a kit is clean like that, it's going to look good.
Yeah. Nothing too fancy on the away strip, just it's really well done. And luckily we've seen it twice so far this preseason, in Mexico and in Munich. And it looked really good.
Yeah, I liked it.
But after going back to the final, after Katie Barre's goal, Atleti were kind of just playing it out until the final few minutes, when Gabby took down, I think it was Divock Origi in the box, called a penalty. It was kind of a soft challenge, I thought.
It was just hilarious, because like Gabby caught Origi's foot, but Origi stayed up,
right?
Yeah, he stayed up, and then like, oh, I guess I can jump here.
I guess I can fall down then, here. Is he good?
Yeah, it just went down.
Yeah,
and the referee, and like that's a FIFA UEFA Champions League referee, who's actually pretty good, Felix Brick, and he just bought it. I don't think that was a penalty in a million years.
Yeah, it probably was more of a dive than a penalty, but, you know, it was what it was, and Firmino stepped up, converted, sending Moya the wrong way. And thus, we went to the shootout, which Atletico fans dread, of course. Shootouts in general, even in preseason. And the only one that missed was Jordan Henderson, and Moya made a really nice leg save on Liverpool's captain. Everyone else converted. Atleti were 5 for 5. Nico Gaitán's penalty, I thought, was very good in particular. Was not expecting him to get a chance. Perfectly placed.
Probably was the best thing he's ever done in Atleti colors.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's definitely a top 5 moment, which is really scary. And then...
God. You guys hate Gaitán, don't you?
We do. I mean, I have no expectations for him this season. He was just so disappointing last year. I mean, it started really early for him, and Simeone didn't start him right away. He didn't get a whole lot of opportunities. Simeone hoped to bet him in the way he betted in other players like Griezmann when he came over, but just didn't work. Just didn't work for him. I mean, maybe he'll be better with a second season. He was pretty good in this game, and he scored a really important penalty, but I personally don't have any expectations for him. I find that I'll be less disappointed that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and with Vitolo coming in January, he's not going to play.
Yeah, with Vitolo coming, if Gaitán is terrible for the first 4 months, then they'll just sell him in January.
Sure.
Or at least loan him, probably sell him. Someone will take him if he's bad.
Maybe Benfica will take him back.
Take him back, sure. I mean, you're not going to get much for him, but if you need to get him out of there, I mean, that's a pretty good escape route. I loved Felipe's penalty. He celebrated like he'd never scored a penalty before. He celebrated like he just like won the Copa.
It was awesome. I noticed that too. He was so happy, so excited. Like a little kid on Christmas.
And that's just it. That's the Atleti mentality, even in preseason.
Yeah, like they were actually proud. I saw a few players posting the photo with the trophy and stuff.
A lot of them.
I was like, wow, they're actually celebrating a preseason trophy. This is so Atleti.
I mean, some people may like. I know you're not, but some people may laugh at it. But this is kind of the mentality, as I've said, that Simeone.
I laughed at it, but I wasn't laughing.
Oh, like, sure.
Oh, what a bunch of idiots. I was like, oh man, this is so Atleti, it's actually funny.
Whatever, that's just how Atleti roll, and it's, you may laugh at it, but, you know, come March and April, and you see Atleti are really deep into three competitions, you'll understand.
Yeah, that's true. Their competitive spirit is the mark of the team, and it's always going to be.
So that was that, and Atleti, it's the first silverware of any kind, preseason or not, in 2 years, so that's good, and it's better than not winning, I will say.
Sure.
And also, after the game, a lot of people were offended at Jurgen Klopp's comments, saying, you know, Atletico only wanted to win, we wanted to win and play football, but Atletico only wanted to win. Did you see that? What did you think of it?
If I'm an Atleti fan, I wouldn't be offended, because that's really the mentality. I don't know how you feel, but if I was a fan,
I don't really care.
Atleti, I'm like, yeah, but we always want to win. That's true. He's saying the truth.
I don't really care. He's entitled to his opinion. He's actually probably right. But, you know, it's whatever. Yeah. Atleti wanted to win the cup, and they won the cup.
We did.
Yeah. That's what they wanted, and they got it.
Yeah. People get mad about it, everything. These days,
yeah, okay. Especially on the internet when it's easier to get mad at things, you know.
Yeah,
it's just so easy to always be pissed off at stuff.
Twitter is a lot of angry people who don't have a lot of words to say, so they just
rage.
Pretty much say cuss words.
They just rage all the time, yeah, because it's just like it gets to be toxic, you know. Because just there's so many angry people out there, and this is why I don't follow 1,000 or 2,000 people. I don't want to see that many voices in my timeline.
Yeah, I it was really big on Twitter too, but like I feel like Twitter really took a, like, they had a heel turn a year and a half ago. For the last 15 months, Twitter just sucks, I'd say. Twitter is what Facebook was 2 years ago, you know, where the worst place to be at, and that's Twitter these days. People just migrated over from Facebook and are now infecting Twitter, which used to be a pretty good place.
Yeah, and it's pretty dark now. It can be really dark there.
Like, no matter what the subject is, people are angry about everything on Twitter.
It can be politics, it can be football, it can be other sports, it can be the weather, it can be whatever. People just like to be angry.
You know, when I really started noticing it, and I'm going to say this now because I'll actually use this reference when I talk about Neymar. I really started noticing this trend of rage on Twitter when Kevin Durant moved to the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
That was like quite a clear example of people being absolutely angry for like no reason, or something that happens all the time, which is free agents leaving their teams and signing for better teams. It happens all the time.
That made people so angry. And the way Durant presented it, too, with the Players Tribune piece, like, that made people angry. Like, they got comparisons to LeBron's decision back in 2010. And I didn't have Twitter in 2010, so I didn't see the rage back then. And there weren't as many users back then anyway, but people were so mad when KD up and left Oklahoma City for Golden State. Like, oh, they're building a super team. Oh, rawr. And, like, how does this impact your life? Like, I get if you're a fan of, like, another NBA contender, but how does this impact your life? Realistically, did Kevin Durant kill your dog by deciding to go to Oakland?
Oh, my God.
I mean, honestly, it's like these people get mad at everything.
Yeah, and I'll just talk about this Durant stuff because I like talking about it. Because a lot of people here in Brazil also... also raged about it, because NBA is actually pretty big here in Brazil. Like, I think the only fans who actually have the right, quotation marks, to be angry is Oklahoma City fans, because they're actually directly hurt with this. But nobody else has the right to be angry because they weren't affected by it. And in my opinion, it just made the NBA a lot more fun to watch. I loved watching last season. It was really fun. So, yeah, it's really weird.
Like, people just chose to be angry rather than... Yeah, I know some people appreciated it, but a lot of people chose to be angry rather than appreciating the kind of talent that was assembled on that team by Durant choosing to move. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I'm a Spurs fan, and I was actually pretty mad to see us swept by them. But other than that specific series, I just loved watching them.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. When Durant hit that shot on Game 3 of the Finals, oh, man.
Just legendary.
It's just so good to watch.
Do you think if Kawhi had been healthy, it would have been 6 or 7 games?
Yeah, I think Golden State would win it, but it'd probably go to a Game 7 because Kawhi was just absurd in the playoffs.
He's just so good. I love Kawhi. Yeah.
I think he's gonna be MVP next season.
I picked him to be MVP last season.
Well, because Russ has PG now, and that's gonna take at least 6 months for them to figure it out. You never know who's gonna be MVP in the Warriors because KD is the best player, but Steph is also truly great, and you don't know. And they share so much of the spotlight, so you don't get a regular season MVP out of that team. I think LeBron. I don't think maybe if now that Kyrie is leaving, if maybe LeBron just has a historic season without Kyrie, who knows? But I think I really think Kawhi is the favorite for next season.
I picked him last season before Russ decided to go and average a triple double, but. And I think he's certainly a front runner this year. I mean, I'm not sure anyone from Houston will be either because they got Harden and Paul in that backcourt now, and they're both figuring out how many touches they're each going to get. So Kawhi is a pretty reasonable choice, I think.
Super teams take a season to figure themselves out,
and they believe winning a championship is supersedes any individual MVP accomplishments.
Yeah,
that when you assemble that much talent together, they kind of have that one goal in mind.
Yeah, that's exactly. And then the super great guy who doesn't have another super great guy alongside him, he's probably the favorite for MVP.
Yeah,
and I think that's the case with Kawhi. Anyway, I think we got a little bit off track here.
But that's what happens when Baronato gets together, man.
I love that name.
Okay, so let us switch gears now and talk about one of your most favorite recent subjects.
Oh, God.
A certain Brazilian footballer who plays for Barcelona.
Oh, it doesn't anymore.
Douglas. No, it's actually not Douglas. all right.
No, Neymar doesn't play for Barcelona. No, he's no longer a Barca player. So.
He's not because his clause has been paid. Let's talk about Neymar. And I have questions. Oh. All right? I have questions about this. Your sources confirmed on Monday that it was a done deal, that Neymar was off to PSG. Today, Thursday, PSG's, an entourage from the French Giants came to La Liga's offices to pay the 222 million euro buyout clause. La Liga rejected it, but they have no legal ground to stand on, so they're going to be forced to accept it, and Neymar is off to PSG. So, yeah, how shocking.
And this was actually solved later, because Neymar himself paid the release clause.
Yeah, I read that was a possibility, because they could just make him an ambassador for the World Cup. In 2020.
Oh, that actually happened. Yeah. Barca released a statement that Neymar's lawyers presented a 222 million check in Neymar's name. He was paying off his own. He was buying himself out.
Yep.
He got that money, I don't know, but we can all guess where he got that money.
Yeah. We can add one and one together.
Yeah, so...
But the point is, he's got the money. He's paid it. He's off to PSG. And it's...
Yeah, not officially yet. Not officially. So right now, as we are recording this podcast, he's a free agent. He hasn't really signed his contract, but there is a picture making the rounds on Twitter of him and his father signing the contract. So, but officially, he's a free agent. But, of course, we know he's going to PSG. And he actually wants to make his debut on Saturday. PSG played the Ligue 1 opener at home against Amiens, and Neymar wants to play that game. And I guess if PSG paid 222 million euros to sign him, they'll let him do whatever the hell he wants. If he wants to play on Saturday without one training session, they're going to let him.
They'll let him. They'll start him. It doesn't matter. You pay that much for a footballer. He pretty much can do whatever the hell he wants.
Exactly.
So, how shocking has this all been to you? And where did it, for some of our listeners who have not been following this as intently as you and I have, take us through when this started, how this started, where it started, and it's resulted in, you know, a third of MSN, you know, leaving.
2.5 weeks ago, a Brazilian journalist named Marcelo Beckler reported that Neymar had accepted an offer to join PSG this summer, and PSG were willing to pay the release clause. This changed everything, because we had rumors of Neymar to PSG for about, I don't know, let me make the exact math here, 597 years.
I was going to go with 598, but close enough.
Yeah, PSG being linked with Neymar, but we never got a report from a reputable source, at least, that Neymar had accepted the offer. So that changed everything, and that's where things started to get crazy. And then a week goes by where Neymar is in training with Barca, and like the story had died a little bit, and then they go to the United States. And when they go to the United States, things start to heat up, because PSG admitted to a French newspaper that they were willing to pay the release clause. Neymar made the decision to go, and he informed his teammates that he wanted to go on the Friday before El Clasico, which took place in Miami. So Neymar played El Clasico knowing he was going to leave, and everybody that was with him knew he was going to leave. But he hadn't informed the club yet. So he came back from the United States, went to China for a few sponsorship things he had to do with Nike and Barca. And then once he came back to Barcelona, he met with the Barca president and informed them that he had decided to leave. And Barca released a statement saying that Neymar had informed them, but he was only going to leave if PSG paid the release clause. And then La Liga said that they wouldn't accept the release clause because of financial fair play. And then PSG deposited the money, or at least presented the documents that they were going to deposit. La Liga rejected that, so PSG went the other route, which is informed Neymar that the money was rejected. So Neymar himself would have to buy out his own contract, which he did on Thursday, today. And that's when the deal was done. That's the timeline. On Monday, a few sources told our site, Barça Blaugrana, that Barça had agreed to sell Neymar, and they were informed of the decision, which Barça then announced on Tuesday. So that's the timeline.
So how shocking has this been to all of you? I mean, to some Barça fans and writers that I know, it hasn't been that shocking. But to others, this just came completely out of the blue. So where do you stand?
It's not shocking that he's going, because I never expected him to stay for more than 5 years or even to retire.
Sure.
It was shocking that he accepted the offer. Like, when Beckler reported that he accepted the offer, that was shocking. Because I always thought that it was going to be the other way around. PSG were going to approach Barca and pay the release clause, and then they were going to convince Neymar to leave. It was the other way around. Neymar decided to go to PSG then informed Barca, and then he convinced PSG to pay his release clause. So that was the shocking part to me, not that he's leaving, but he actually made the decision. He actually forced things to happen instead of he just accepting the conditions. He made the conditions begin to appear. So that was the shocking part of this.
Whereas in the past, you would teams like PSG and Manchester United and others, they were the ones having to make an approach. They were the ones having to make, you know, certain assurances. They were the ones trying to initiate contact. This time, it was Neymar and his dad who made this happen. Yeah. And Neymar's dad is, like, getting paid for this. He is getting serious bank.
That's that guy's life. He's won money off his son his whole life, and he's doing it again. So
yeah, it's kind of sick when you put it like that.
More power to him. Like, I know it's sick, but it's the truth.
But it's the truth. Yeah, it is.
He's been making money off Neymar since Neymar was 12. He won't stop doing when Neymar's 25.
No, he's made 100 million euros off him at least.
Yeah, and he's going to make 50 million off commission this time. So
it's crazy. So the total outlay for this is got to be over half a billion euros. Probably I think it's actually more than that, closer to 600 million.
Yeah, Sky Sports reported yesterday on Wednesday that with Neymar's wages, it's going to be 500 million until the end of Neymar's contract. But they say that their sources say that the wage is going to be 30 million a year. What I know, what I've been told, and this is kind of breaking news because I haven't actually written about it, because I just learned this a few hours ago. Neymar's salary would be 42 million a year, and that's without taxes. The taxes would be covered by PSG, and his clean salary, as we say in Brazil, is going to be 42 million a year. That's what a source told me. So it's actually going to be more than the 500 million Sky reported, because the wage is a lot more than what they're saying. So, yeah, PSG will make a lot of will spend a lot of money, but I'm pretty sure they're going to cover all the expenses in like a year, because the amount of money they're going to make with Neymar on the team is just absurd.
Yeah.
Money is never a problem for PSG.
That's a lot of money.
They knew that. They're going to spend a lot, but they're going to make so much more. So they're not concerned at all about FFP and all of that. They just know that Neymar is a giant source of money for them.
Exactly. Especially with Neymar in the fold now, they have even less concern of of the revenue, because Neymar will generate it himself, because he's so marketable. Like, he's so marketable, and he has so many sponsorships.
Yeah. My theory about this is PSG always wanted Neymar, even when he was in Brazil. They were just waiting for the perfect timing. It was their plan. So they wanted to build the club to a certain point. And when it was clear that Neymar was ready to leave Barcelona, they would be the perfect situation for Neymar. And I thought, honestly, that it was going to be next year after the World Cup. That maybe Neymar, because as a Brazilian, obviously, I'm rooting for Brazil to win it. And what I always thought is, okay, Neymar is going to lead Brazil to a World Cup title, and he's going to be the Ballon d'Or winner, and then PSG are going to sign him and have the Ballon d'Or winner in their team to lead them to a Champions League in 2019 or something. I think that was their plan, maybe, to like, okay, forget Messi, forget Cristiano Ronaldo. We have the guy who just won the World Cup for his nation, and it's going to be the Ballon d'Or. So we're going to, if we have to pay 300 million for him, we're going to pay. But we have created the perfect situation for him. We have a lot of Brazilians in the team. We have Dani Alves, who's his best friend. It's just going to be perfect for him. It just happened a year earlier than they thought it was going to happen.
So why was this the perfect time for Neymar to leave?
You know what? I read a column from, which to me is the best writer about football in the world, Sid Lowe.
Sid's wonderful. Yep.
He wrote an article this week, which I think it's better than anything I could ever say. Remember, of course, you remember the 6-1 when Sergio Roberto scored the sixth goal and Barca eliminated PSG and completed the greatest comeback in Champions League history. What is the first image that comes to your mind?
It's the Messi photo.
it's the Messi photo, which is an amazing photo.
But Messi wasn't responsible for that comeback. Neymar was.
Yeah. Neymar scored the free kick, a spectacular free kick.
And then he
stepped up and scored a penalty.
And then he won the penalty.
And he assisted Sergio Roberto.
Yep.
Neymar made the comeback happen.
But Neymar didn't. Neymar wasn't in that photo. Messi was.
Yeah, and Messi was the poster boy for that comeback, even though he only scored a goal. As many wonderful things as Messi has done and will do for Barcelona, he was not a big part of the comeback. And yet, that photo was the poster photo for the greatest comeback, even though he had nothing to do with it. So this was perfect timing because Neymar feels that he's good enough to lead a team on his own, and that 6-1 proves that he is. And in his view, he doesn't think that's going to happen to Barcelona, at Barcelona. And it's only going to happen when Messi starts to decline, which we don't know when it's going to be.
It'll be never.
It could be never because
Messi
is that good.
He's Messi.
Neymar has a chance to be at a really good team because we can't sit here. As much as I hate PSG right now, as a Barca fan, I can't sit here and pretend they're not good enough. They beat Barca 4-0. They lost 6-1, but they also beat Barca 4-0. Now, imagine the team that beat Barca 4-0 with Neymar, which was the guy that beat them 6-1. So it just makes a lot of sense for him. I totally get where he's coming from. I don't think I'm any less of a Barca fan than the others that hate Neymar. I just look at it from a different angle. I respect Neymar's decision. I just don't respect how he carried himself in this whole situation because he never said anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's ungrateful. I don't think he's a traitor. I don't think he's a mercenary that only thinks about money. I don't think any of that. I just think that he should show a little bit of respect and not enjoy all the attention that he was getting. And actually either say, yeah, I'm going, or just be the usual thing every footballer who's involved in rumors does. Oh, I'm just thinking about my football right now. I'm just thinking about preseason. He didn't even say that. And that, to me, showed a lack of respect for the club. Because the most important thing is the club. Neymar is not bigger than Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Lionel Messi isn't bigger than Barcelona. Gerard Piqué isn't bigger than Barcelona. Nothing and nobody is bigger than Barcelona. And when Neymar allowed Barcelona to be put in the spotlight in the wrong way like this, he showed a lack of respect for the club. And I think that wasn't good. And that's the only thing I fault him for disrespecting the club. And to be clear, Barca beat Manchester United, Juventus, and Real Madrid in the United States. And all everybody could talk about was Neymar.
Was Neymar.
For the wrong reasons. So
that sums it up, I think.
Sums it up. We beat three of the biggest teams in the world. We beat our biggest rival. And people aren't talking about those wins. They're talking about Neymar. And by the way, Neymar was the best player of the tour. But nobody's talking about how good Neymar was on the tour. They're talking about how he's going to PSG.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing that makes me angry about this. But when it comes to his decision, I respect it. And I wish him the best of luck.
I mean, this changes everything about the transfer market. This changes everything about how players are viewed, how much players should cost and will cost in the future. Like, we can expect to see 100 million topped several more times.
Yeah, but let's imagine another scenario. Let's say that PSG offered 150 million for Neymar, okay? But Neymar said, no, I'm not leaving. I don't want to go to PSG. Then what would Barca do? Barca will offer Neymar a new contract and would increase his release clause to, say, 350 million because they would think, okay, if PSG offered me 150 million now, they're probably going to pay his release clause if it stays at 222 million next summer. But because nobody anticipated this, there was no time to increase release clauses. Because, like, for instance, there's a lot of talk of Umtiti, the Barca center back, who's probably the best young center back in Europe.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
A lot of Premier League teams are thinking about him. Liverpool are thinking about him. His release clause is 40 million euros. When he was signed last summer, 40 million euros wasn't a low clause. It wasn't easy to sign him for 40 million euros. It is now, but nobody could anticipate this. So that's what I mean. But okay, so release clause aside, the board is at fault for so many things.
Right.
They allowed Luis Enrique, which, as grateful I am for the titles that Luis Enrique brought us, he just didn't do a good job. And the board kept giving him players that he wanted that clearly didn't improve the team. They signed Arda Turan because he wanted Barca to sign Arda Turan. He signed Andre Gomes because he wanted Andre Gomes. And they kept making the team worse. And Neymar is looking, thinking, okay, I'm never going to escape the shadow of Messi, and maybe I don't play for the best team in the world anymore because we can't win with these guys. I don't know, man. I don't even know what to say, honestly, because this is such a crazy situation that I never thought would happen like this. Like I said, I always thought he was going to leave, but never this way. With him paying his own release clause, even though it's not his money, but he actually forced his way out of the club, which is why Barca fans are so hurt. The way it happened and all the wrong decisions that led to this point is just a crazy, crazy, crazy moment.
Yep. Who do you think... Who would you choose to come in as the replacement? There have been quite a few names linked already. Coutinho, Dembele, others. Where do you think they should go from here?
I want Dembele. I think that he's the best choice. If they want another Neymar, that's Dembele. Because he's clearly the guy that is going to be that threat on the left wing that is so skilled and who can score goals but can also provide assists, and he can shoot with both feet. He's very fast, so he's basically a less experienced Neymar, but I think he's just incredible. So let's sign him. But because this is Barcelona, they're going to waste a lot of money on Coutinho, even though Coutinho is not going to improve 1% the system. But that's probably what we're going to do. And Dybala is just because that's my favorite guy outside of Barca. I just love him so much. He's incredible.
As both a Brazilian and as a Barca fan, with Neymar's move now announced by PSG, does it mean something different to you than it would to other Barcelona fans? Does it strike you emotionally any different?
A little bit, because like I said, that's the reason why I see where he's coming from, because he's come from nothing, and now he's got the chance to be the best player in the world just because of his talent. So almost, I'd say 99% of Brazilians come from nothing. So I kind of sympathize with him on that sense, because I kind of know what it is to come from nothing, and I'm not nearly as rich as Neymar. I don't have a comfortable life as he does, but I'm doing good right now and by working hard, and I can relate to him in that sense. But as a Barca fan, I'm just hurt because, first of all, I'm seeing an incredible player leave the club, and that incredible player has left the club being disrespectful to the club. So I'm hurt in that sense, but I can also see where he's come from, and I'm sympathetic to him as well.
We're going to have to end Colchonero Chat right here, but I'd like to thank my guest, Renato Gonzalez, for hopping on the program today. You can follow Renato on Twitter at RenatoDSG. That's RenatoDSG. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. That's JBBERen. You can follow Into the Calderon as well, at Into the Calderon, and like the blog on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. In addition, you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. And feel free to leave a rating and a review on iTunes. Thanks so much for listening as ever. We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.